You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
What's good, everybody? Welcome to a brand new...
It's the Cooligans, buddy.
My name is Christian Polanco. Today, I am joined by my guest co-host because Alexis Guerrero's decided to be like, hey, you know, he was begging at CBS. He was like, yo, I would love to go to the Champions League final. Yeah. And they were like, no, that's impossible. And then they were like, you know what? It's actually kind of possible. Nice. He's going to the Champions League final between Borussia Dortmund and Real Madrid. He will be there at Wembley. So filling in, some would say, just such... Such an upgrade.
Nice.
Some
would also say maybe the same.
there's a certain of...
Like for like change.
A certain of... the before picture of Alexis Guerrero's.
Okay. I'll take that over the other option.
I am joined by my dear friend, David Goss. David, what's up, brother?
It's wild because I was supposed to be at the Champions League final, and I was begging to come on the Cooligans, and you asked me. So I've come in the other direction.
Right. I said, you know what? We can make it happen. Yeah. Okay. I know that you have a deep obligations in Wembley. Yeah. But I'm like, no, bro, you need to be here.
And I text Ancelotti immediately, and I said, not this year. Can't be. Can't do it.
I know that you're insisting, and I hate to break your heart. Yeah. Who wants to break Carlo Look Ancelotti? Sorry.
Yeah, you know what?
There's several people who have tried to break his heart at Champions League finals and failed.
Yeah.
Okay, so you are one of the few that have been quite successful.
I stand alone. Okay.
There's something. Ancelotti has won. He's been in something like 8 or 9
I
finals.
I think he's won 6.
Yeah, and lost. I think he's lost 2 as a right. like, player and manager.
So Milan.
Because
I think he lost Milan. I think he was the Milan coach with the Istanbul with Liverpool.
Yes. He was.
So he lost that one.
That was a rough one to lose.
Yeah, that's a rough one. But if the trade-off with the soccer gods was like, hey,
you're
going to have the most famous loss and then win it 6 times, I think you take that trade.
So we're going to we'll break down and preview the Champions League final. We have a lot to go over. Just last night, we did an event. Alex and I did an event with Tim Weah and New Balance and 8x8, and it was wild. We'll talk about that in a bit. And so a bunch of MLS stuff and TST, which you're gonna be an announcer for TST. Yeah. I'm gonna be a player, bro. Okay.
Wow.
Okay.
Big deal.
No one. Okay. We didn't see. We should be both in the booth calling the game. But somebody said, no, Christian. I think you have an ability that we need to see on the pitch. And I don't know what they saw in me, but that's where I will be.
So luckily, I think I'm a solo broadcast.
Okay.
So after you tweak your hamstring 30 seconds in, then you can come join me. Then we could be together in the booth.
Sure. Now, look, the only thing that's going to be hurt are my feelings, all right? Because that's going to be the toughest thing. We'll talk Champions League in a bit. I just want to mention, again, shout out to Tim Weah, everybody at New Balance, and 8x8. Like, literally, that event was super cool. We did it at Kyle Martino's football cafe or No One Home. There's, like, 2 spaces, the upstairs space and the downstairs space. That it's newly constructed, and it's, like, an event space. Really, really cool. I had an absolute blast. And, yeah, it was, like, dope getting to – we had a panel, Chelsea Kabarkis, Sam Herzog Legend. From Sistema Rosa, Omri Gal from Design FC. I'm wearing their shirt right now. You can't sort of see the thing right there. There it is. But this Design FC, we've talked about them before. It's like it's an organization that they go to schools and basically like for art programs and stuff. Like they get kids that do art to make football kits. And some of the kids have been in FIFA and EAFC and stuff like that. So it's super cool. So it was a great...
Can Adidas use them for MLS
kits? Okay, that might be an option. Yeah. Well, New Balance is using them, so they got to them first. All right, so it's all good. But
corporate hat yeah, yeah, I gotta
make sure and give them the shout
give
out.
Give them the love.
But so Tim Way was super cool, and the
you guys are best friends.
We're homies now.
Timmy W.
We asked him. We were like, "Yo, what do you prefer, Timothy, Timo?
Yeah,
Tim." He's like, he's literally he went. Whatever, man. That's the coolest dude I've ever met, bro. Okay.
You should have just called him Jeffrey. Just been like,
be like, okay, I'm cool with that.
You told me whatever.
And then, so we had a great time. But then, so afterwards, I got up. I've been training with Edson Buttle, mm-hmm. right? Which is also just a crazy sentence to say. Mm-hmm. But I had invited Edson Buttle to the event, but he couldn't make it. But he texted me a photo of him at like a training camp when he was like, he must have been probably like 15.
Okay.
With George Weah.
Nice.
He like was either played against him or coaching at the camp or something like that. And so I show him and I'm like, oh, look at this picture. He's like, oh man, that's so cool. And Tim was like, oh, I used to train with Edson's dad because he's a coach. He's still a coach.
Yeah.
Like Westchester.
He's a legendary coach. Yeah. A lot of really good soccer players have
and
come up under him.
So I'm like, I tell him, I'm like, yo, I'm training for TST. Edson Buttle's my trainer. And this is the most humbling thing. He goes, oh, you nice?
He opened the door to the possibility that you could be. He didn't immediately shut it down, which is polite.
As soon as he asked me that, I was like, nah, man, I'm not. there was a genuine glow that he was like, oh, I didn't know that.
I didn't know you were one of us.
You were funny, but I didn't know that you could actually ball like that. Because if you're playing in this tournament,
right.
And I had to be like, nah, man, I'm just a comedian. I would like immediately be like, I can't even be a fraud for a second and be like, yeah, you know, I kicked the ball around in my co-ed league on Sundays.
Right.
You know,
I scored 15 goals. On Sunday.
Okay, ultimate team. You know what I mean? But you know how it is. You know, you guys like us.
Yeah. Up here.
So it was just a wild moment, but it was great. So Tim, he voiced his opinion. He was like, bro, y'all are great. I would love to do a podcast sometime. So I'm like, all right, everybody, keep just remind him.
Tweet. Next year's Champions League final. Or he'll play in it.
So again, shout out to Tim. That was really, really cool. But let's get started. We're going to talk some MLS. We'll get into a bunch of other stuff. But let's talk with the Champions League final. Obviously, this Saturday, 3 p.m. Eastern time, Borussia Dortmund, Real Madrid. It's difficult to not, the easy prediction is Real Madrid is just going to do it again.
Yeah.
I think the fun thing, I mean, a lot of people are just sort of hoping for a lovely 1-0 Borussia Dortmund victory. But there's the storyline of just like of Jude Bellingham, of like the money that Borussia Dortmund will get for Real Madrid winning and then
beating them. Which is also, so last time Dortmund was in the final, they played Bayern.
Okay.
And I think Mario Götze had been sold to Bayern, but was still on Dortmund. And I think they were in another situation where it was like something like that. It's kind of just Dortmund's existence.
It's so strange. Yeah, there is a...
I think Klopp was... maybe he wasn't leaving at that point. No, I think maybe he had already said he was going to quit. But he didn't have his next job. So this is what they do.
Yeah, I don't know what to... It's, like, I'm trying to think of like who could make... a real difference. I mean, it's not like Borussia Dortmund for what they did against PSG, which I like after watching the first leg, I'm like, all right, I think if they just keep this style of play, they can probably do it in the second leg. And that's exactly what they did. Real Madrid, there's something to the vibes, the energy that they bring that it's like destiny always sort of wills them to win. They always sort of find a way. And I don't know how Borussia Dortmund is going to stop that.
Yeah.
That where it feels like the gods are not on their side.
Yeah, it's also so tough because for Dortmund, it's like, okay, well, you need to have like a very specific plan so you can have the confidence to be like, oh, if we can accomplish these things, we can win. And with Real Madrid, there is no plan because it's like, oh, well, whatever you guys do, we'll just do something to beat it in the end.
Right.
Do you guys want to play? You want to be Man City? Great. Then we'll just do what we did to Man City. No, you don't want to? You want to sit deep? Okay, we'll just do what we do to teams when they sit deep.
Yeah.
I can't think of the word. I know there's a word for like some creature that just like takes on whatever it needs to defeat you. It's like a mythology thing, whatever.
Sure, sure.
I can't think of what it is. Either, yeah. I guess it's a Ditto from Pokemon. Shout out Pokemon.
Let's go, Pokemon fans. Yeah. All right, Virgins Unite. Now, I love Pokemon, and I was also an extreme virgin when I was really good at the game.
Yeah,
so.
When you were probably in fifth grade?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know what? I mean, I you know, some of my friends were much cooler than me. Nice. All right? we're getting in. And they have really problematic lives right now.
Yeah. And their kids at this point are all Pokemon fans again. That's Real Madrid, right? And that's what's insane about them. And it's funny. I like this Real Madrid team, mm-hmm. and like, I don't like favorites. You know, I always root for the underdog. I always root for the other team. I am an Atleti fan when it comes to La Liga because I played for a coach who played at Atleti when I was younger. But Madrid is so good at this thing, which is just winning. And it's like from Benzema to now, I don't go back to Ronaldo. I think that's different. But like Benzema to now, it's like you watch the City games and you're like, yeah, they're going to win. Yeah. I don't know how. They don't know how. They don't really care. Bayern the same. But, like, they're going to win. And they are the best I've ever seen at that.
Right. Yeah. So I was watching, like, you know, a lot of the interviews. Matt Hummels was on Morning Footy. Alexis had interviewed him. And he was also, he has a sort of comedic sort of vibe. I don't know if you've seen Mats Hummels' tweets from time to time, especially during the Champions League. He's been sort of like roasted every time they win about the Farmers League. We got beaten by a bunch of farmers and all this stuff. So he's like a chill dude, but there's maybe with the age, the maturity, the experience that he has, and it's also he's also like, I mean, you watch him play and you watch the last couple of years, you just sort of like, oh, he's done. Yeah. Like, I mean, he's looking a little slower than some of the players that he's playing against. And then this season, it's just like, all right, what happened to Mats Hummels? But he's playing with a certain level of confidence that I think it's so odd that it didn't, I don't know, maybe at what point in the Bundesliga season that they sort of gave up. They were like, all right, nothing's going to happen
here. This is their thing, yeah.
But in Champions League, they just look like a completely different team. And in Bundesliga, they just look... It looked like another embarrassing year. So it's just like, can they hold on? Even if they score, I'm sure they'll score.
Yeah.
But the just seeing the interviews, his confidence seems high. Jude Bellingham's confidence seems pretty high as well. And seeing him, there's also a little bit of like, I don't know if annoyed is the right word, but the comments about how poised and mature Jude Bellingham is like, all right, like we can't keep applauding him for speaking right. Yeah, like, yeah, I mean, yeah. I get like you can't be that
except
impressed.
Sometimes the bar with the other guys he's being compared to,
that's the problem,
is down there.
So maybe we should,
like, Phil Foden's out here or Jack Grealish out here.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're like, whoa, look how impressive Jude Bellingham is.
So that's the thing, is like, we have to start putting down the other guys more than
elevating.
I'm like, that's how it should be.
Okay.
That's the main thing. But because he's so, look, I mean, the argument now is basically he's going to win Ballon d'Or, right? Like, and it's, you know, when was it? When Luka Modric won it, there's
2018, the World Cup.
Right, right. There's a little bit of like, I don't know, maybe because I have this bias of like, oh, the Ballon d'Or winner should have 90 goals.
For sure.
And then it's like, oh, okay, a midfielder can win it with just, you know, I mean,
he's their leading goal scorer.
Okay, which is...
Coming out of midfield, I think, or in La Liga, at least.
Yeah. But it's not 90 goals,
right? No, it's
right?
Like 20, I think. Yeah.
So, and that's just my, you know, looking for like the who are the elite.
Yeah.
And you pay attention to stats and numbers and stuff like that. But there's something to... And it speaks to his maturity and the way he carries himself.
Come on, liberty. Relax. Do less.
but that, all of that sort of combined is why I'm like, okay, I can see him, why we're calling him the best player of the year and stuff like that.
And what's amazing about this whole thing, and if you hate Real Madrid, like, get ready, because they're all 23.
Yeah.
So, like, this is, and I think it's a little underrated because I don't think people want to talk about this, but, like, Real Madrid went from Galacticos always to, like, they bought Vinicius before he, like, 45 million Euros is nuts for a kid. Mm-hmm. But they did it before he was worth 90. They did it with Tchouaméni and Camavinga a little bit. They did it with Rodrigo. And now they've got this spine that they're going to be together for 10 years.
Yeah.
And they're going to win six more of these things probably.
And they're about to get Mbappe. Mbappe's about to come next,
which is, I can't even get there.
Which also, where does that put Vinicius?
I think he's
not going to be the striker. Mbappe's not going to be the nine.
I think they'll play two. I think Rodrigo's the one who gets pushed out. And the rumor is he might be the Salah replacement if that's what Liverpool's doing.
Yeah.
And that's the rotation, which is, in one hand, it's like, why mess up a good thing? Why even go there? But it doesn't really matter if Jude Bellingham's.
Did you see Salah's new haircut?
Yeah.
Bro.
Yeah. He's trying to copy me.
I got to find the photo.
Come on, Salah. Get off my back.
Bold move. I mean, I know a lot of people. We're looking at this.
That's what I look like too when I take that photo.
But it's a subtle. It's a mirror. It's a mirror selfie. The lighting's not great. Yeah. We're not. You know, he's not giving us all scalp.
Well, but also it's very. This comes from NBA background. Right? Everything in the NBA now is like Taylor Swift style. Like you got to hide little clue. Like LeBron's got to tweet a snake.
Right.
But he's at 1 a.m. on the West Coast. That's kind of what this vibe is. Oh, I'm changing my life. Like, new year, new me. And you're like, what does this mean?
What is this all about? Yeah, everybody's like, you know, Ballon d'Or incoming and all this other stuff. So I'm excited to see it on the pitch. I mean, we all know Salah was like,
his hair's going to be back by the time he plays the game. Right? Egypt's not playing in anything. Yeah. Oh, he might go to the Olympics, I think.
Okay, that's interesting.
But he would be a crazy thing to do, but.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. So we don't know the, picturing Salah in like a fresh Caesar, you know what I mean? Yeah. Lying in his hair. And we know he was kind of widow's peak, like, you know, so you let the hair grow out a little bit just to hold on.
You gotta get all you can, yeah. Trust me, I know from experience. Mo, call me. Let's talk about this.
I got you, though.
I can help you.
So, I'm excited to see, not only, you know, if he stays, what Liverpool is going to look like, but the look on the pitch is going to be impressive. All right, so the Champions League final, again, Alexis will be there. I'm going to try to get, some boots on the ground content out there. Let's see. I know he's doing some stuff for CBS, but I know he's doing some stuff for like UEFA and stuff like that. So,
Mr. Official.
We just hope, he just doesn't humiliate the brand and stuff like that. So we'll see how he ends up.
Now's the time to start your next adventure behind the wheel of an exciting new Toyota hybrid. With the largest lineup of hybrid, plug-in hybrid, and electrified vehicles to choose from, Toyota has the one for you. Every new Toyota hybrid comes with Toyota Care 2-year complimentary scheduled maintenance, an exclusive hybrid battery warranty, and Toyota's legendary quality and reliability. Visit your local Toyota dealer today. Toyota, let's go places. See your local Toyota dealer for hybrid battery warranty details.
So obviously Champions League final is pretty big, but MLS season is also in full swing. We had a full slate of massive matches last night. We had some matches over the weekend that we didn't get to talk about because we're off for Memorial Day. But I think the place we have to start is the Bad Boys. Lionel Messi and the Bad Boys.
Bad Boys, Bad Boys. Yes, Lionel Messi making his English-speaking debut. Yeah. My man, the Duolingo god, the Duolingoat, as I like to call him. my man was in the promo for Bad Boys, a new, what's the movie called? What's the actual title?
It's the fourth one.
It's the fourth one, but it's like
Bad Boys for Life.
It has like a very generic title. I would hope so.
Let me look it up. I'll look it up.
I forgot what it's called, but
how is it not called Bad Boys for Life with the number four?
Right.
Yes, Bad Boys for Life was Bad Boys 3. They messed up.
Yeah,
so
true.
Badly.
Yeah.
That's
so like step up to the street.
Bad Boys Ride or Die.
Say it again.
Bad Boys Ride or Die.
Ride or Die, which
because they did not think they were getting a fourth. 100%.
Literally, the promo for the film is like I forgot the log line, but it's essentially like the cops that are now on the run or something. I'm like, I've seen this movie 4,000 times. We've seen this exact plot where, now they think they were two-time. They were framed.
They got framed.
Yeah. I'm like, okay.
It's not, they didn't really do it.
Hollywood is out of ideas. Yeah. There's no more. So that's why.
Well, they're all AI generated. Exactly. So okay. They can only pull from what happened.
Okay. The best screenplay to ChatGPT. Yeah. All right. So, but so look, this also, when the marketing is intense and really high, you're like, all right. Are people going to movies anymore? Yeah. Like, so now that you can sense the level of concern. But the fact that, that Lionel Messi is part of it as well is it's a new era of Messi, and so we gotta play the ad. Why am I forgetting the Butler? Jimmy Butler is also part of this campaign as well.
Oh, he's in a different one.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's mainly a Jimmy Butler campaign. And then
Messi got dropped in.
Messi just happens to be in there. But here goes. Let's just watch the Messi's part.
Hey, man.
Look at
bad boys.
Wrong casa.
Yeah, they live down.
Bad boys.
Bad boys is at the other thing.
Mucho gusto.
Martin Lawrence crushing it. Martin Lawrence still at the peak.
So
wow.
So that the funny thing here, I'm literally trying to. I love that Messi's in it. Yeah. I love that I love that somebody made the joke that he sounds like a minion.
Yeah.
Bad boys.
He also his face is of such wonderment.
The face is like, bro, I've rehearsed this for 6 hours, and now I'm ready.
And I'm stoked. Yeah.
I am ready for my moment. And we're looking at his face, and it's just, he is so giddy to be doing this, and that's what makes me so happy.
Yeah.
It's genuine joy in his face that he gets to even meet Will Smith.
Well, because that's one of those things. Will Smith is on that Vin Diesel level of, like, speaks no other language but communicates with everyone else.
Exactly.
And so, you know, him and Messi were hanging out the whole day. Will Smith speaks zero words of Spanish. Messi doesn't speak English, and they're best friends.
Right, and I've seen Will Smith at Inter Miami games as well. So there is a
I think he did one of the World Cup anthems one time.
Okay,
he's like an official soccer.
Look that up. I
don't know that. Host.
Right. Oh, he did 2018. He was on the 2018
Boom.
Song.
Amazing.
So I was at the World Cup. They play those things 1,000 times.
But as my writer comedian mind, I watch this segment and I'm like, you know, so Jimmy the angle is Jimmy Butler is like he's leaving the NBA. He's like not sure if he wants to return to the Heat. And they're like, oh, and then Martin Lawrence is like, man, that's my team. I have Jimmy, like, you know, we were just getting started. Like, don't leave. And then he shows up at the door. He's like, oh, I'm trying to be a bad boy.
Nice.
And so he's like doing all the things of like, he wants to be one of the one of the bad boys. And then in the middle of it, Messi just appears. And then so I'm like thinking of it. Okay. I'm like, how do we rationally make Messi also try to be a bad boy? Mm-hmm. And so the fact that he gets to the door, and this is great. This is super nerdy. Apologies. This is my comedy mind.
I was going to say, how many skits have you written that you could do with Messi in your life?
Look, in sketch writing and improv, there's always, what's the game of the scene, right? Okay. Like, what is the thing that we can heighten?
Okay.
And Messi being there and just saying the word bad boys, and then the two cops being like, no, you're in the wrong place. Okay, what is... Why,
for sure.
You're not really rejecting it. You're not... You don't know what he's asking. Like, it's right. Like, I would have just went with something else, but it's hard if Messi is not comfortable speaking English. But of course, we had Zeeland Shannon, football manager god, right, who does the podcast with Julian Gressel. And according in in their conversation, Julian Gressel has said on his podcast, Messi speaks a fair amount of English, and he can communicate here and there. He's like, and he made the joke of like, he told him about where to go on a set piece and where to make runs. And then after he gives instruction in English, he goes, hey, English pretty good, right? And it's like, all right, well, Messi, you seem a little confident, bro. You got some swag. So that's my...
You can't complain about this, by the way, because that's every Dominican baseball player who speaks English. And then the moment the interview starts, they're like, translator comes over, and then they're like, I don't know.
Amazing, bro. So no, this is my nerdy mind is just like, I would have went with a different angle, but I love the fact that he did this.
Because we're really gonna dig into this.
Yes.
The point is that everyone's looking for them, right?
That not in this campaign.
Oh, you think this is just like the Jimmy Butler thing? That
he wants this to is really like they're auditioning for a third bad boy, right?
What they should have done is they should have done the scene from Bad Boys 2 where Martin Lawrence's daughter gets picked up and then they're like intimidating. They should have done that with Messi, but there's no way Messi agrees to that. There's no chance.
So my hope is that is that he's actually in the movie.
He has to be in the movie.
He has to be in the movie if he's in this, because it would just... It'd just be great. Yeah. Or like, whatever. Just a villain of some kind or anything. So this could be the precipice of, like, Messi's pivot into this career. Like, who knows if he's doing these cameos and stuff like that. So
he's in Bad Boys. It's like the biggest movie.
Not this one. I mean, Will Smith, there was somebody made a list of, like, the last, like, 15 movies that made, like, over $100 million. And Will Smith is, like...
In all of them.
Almost all of them, I mean, the dude is just... Yeah.
And, of course, Vin Diesel and family.
Okay, yeah, family's quite important. Yeah. So shouts to Messi for being in this. So let's talk about Inter Miami. And
Messi spent all his time focusing on movies and not on playing soccer.
That's his problem. Was this signing a bust?
Can Tata get them under control? Okay. Does he know how to motivate Messi?
Let's write the headlines for them.
Let's do it.
The game of the weekend, Messi and Busquets and Suarez didn't travel to Vancouver. Mm-hmm. That wasn't a problem because they ended up winning 2-0 against them. Robert, I made the joke that Messi transferred all his powers to Robert Taylor and was totally fine. Set up Campana for that great goal. But the this game against Atlanta, a team who hasn't won in, what, 9 or something like that?
Yeah, they've been bad.
You just sort of expect, like, Atlanta just to get humiliated out at Chase Stadium. And Thiago Almada was like, okay, well, we're playing against...
We're doing Argentine things?
We're playing against this dude that plays in Argentina that I won a World Cup with. I forgot his name.
Yeah.
Because I won a World Cup. I don't know what he was doing exactly, but I know that I'm out here to ball. Thiago Almada turned it on. And the fact that that they won, you know, Inter Miami. So this was the stat that I saw. Was that Messi hasn't lost a game that he has scored in since the loss to Saudi Arabia at the World Cup. It's goddamn over 2 years ago.
Wow.
It's shocking because even though Inter Miami have been down in games, they still find a way to win in the second half, and they couldn't...
The given is always, like, if Messi plays, they're going to win. Yeah. The question is how many games Messi plays.
Exactly.
And that's where the curveball of, like, he plays, he scores. They were pretty dominant for the first half as well. Atlanta has all these pieces that you know can do this, and they don't.
Yeah.
So you're like, oh, now you're going to decide to wake up. Now you're going to decide to try. I think some credit to Gonzalo Pineda because he set them up 3 in the back, played with the wing backs, got everyone in a good spot. But I think actually this actually probably is worse for him, where you're like, if you're in that front office, you're like, this is what's possible?
Yeah.
What have you been doing the whole season?
We've been embarrassed at home over and over. Like, what?
And you could have done this the whole time. I'm curious to see where Atlanta goes from this, but it was surprising for Miami. And it's surprising. And, like, you start to get into this conversation, and it's like the only one you have, which is like, all right, Copa America. Now we're hearing rumors. Does Messi want to play in the Olympics? You're going to add that on top of it.
Yeah.
You have the rumors that Redondo's going to the Olympics. There's a rumor now that Suarez is going back to Uruguay for Copa America. He's going to return, which Suarez and Bielsa, they got to be together. So I'm in favor of that. So now you're like, okay, you can't really lose games like this.
Yeah.
And like Saba stepped up, 2 crazy goals.
Mm-hmm.
But those are the openings that are there. This is an Inter Miami team that's built on one side of the field. And so there's opportunity there. Thiago Almada was very good for some of the game he was like not trying.
Yeah,
like he has been, and you're like, okay, cool. Well,
it does feel a little bit, especially the last few weeks. It feels like, oh, he's almost like
he's gone.
Like he's like ready to go. But you know, during the off season, he had done some Argentine like Sports Center type thing, and he was just like, yeah, I want to go to Europe. I'm trying to make it happen. Like as soon as like, just like full transparency.
Yeah,
I'm not trying to stay in Atlanta.
For sure.
And the fact that obviously they didn't get the offer that they probably would have wanted, or they just maybe wanted to keep him a little bit longer to find some success. And yeah, he's sort of checked out. He's not gonna, except for this game. Like, yeah. It feels like that's the, you know.
He's like, Scaloni's watching. Yeah. Everyone's here. Will Smith's here. All right, I'll play like this, so you guys know I can.
I mean, also Messi's goals are so incredible. Yeah. In this game,
it was like the only time Atlanta didn't close down quickly.
Yeah.
Did you see Dax get cooked in midfield?
I did. He's used to it.
He is
he's
used got, to obviously it.
Obviously, with Nashville, he had to deal with it from time to time. I think.
And credit to him, he runs back.
He does.
He stays with it. Uh-huh. But there's a moment, and it's like, whoa. Okay, yeah. And they, I think it was Jake Sivan on the call. Like, oh, 37-year-old Dax against 36-year-old Messi. And you're like, well, that's the whole story.
It's a little bit.
23-year-old Dax probably getting cooked there as well. No knock to Dax, one of the great MLS players. It's just Messi in the open field.
Exactly. I mean, plenty have been humiliated by him. But, no, this is it was just a shocking loss. I especially at home, especially a team, you know, that in Miami that you're like, oh, they got the rest. Their best players and still win that game. And you're like, oh, this is an easy dub.
Yeah.
And it was a complete opposite. So credit to Atlanta.
Not an MLS, baby.
Yeah, dude. It's
chaos is chaos.
Nothing's ever certain. The other, a couple other things we wanted to talk about. So RSL, we've been talking about them because this season has been spectacular. Yeah. And they have some just incredible players. But the last few, the last two matches, they played against FC Dallas over the weekend. RSL, so 3-3. This is in Frisco. A game that just made no sense, given that their goalkeeper, Zach McMath, had one of the worst games he just could have possibly ever had. The first goal ball just slipped through his hands.
It's like the third time it's happened in this season too.
Yeah, but that one I sort of understand. We see those.
Yeah,
it happens all over the world. I hate when it happens in MLS because the comments are always
you don't see it coming.
MLS goalkeeping.
Cue the Orlando Chicago game.
Right. That's it. We'll get to that in a little bit, but the. There's a certain level of like I get more protective when it happens in MLS, but McMath had just a howler in that first goal. But then the second one, the ball's in basically midfield. He runs out to go and clear it. He has the best opportunity to clear the ball. It takes a weird bounce. It skips, and he basically plays it into the path of the RSL player. And
spoilers, he did not start this game against Seattle midweek, is what we're saying.
Was it Patrickson Delgado ended up getting the goal, but just a ridiculous, it's just like the worst sort of situation.
Yeah.
Down 2-0 on just two goals that are just terrible. And then, but RSL.
Then they came back.
They came right back. And who was it that came on?
Diego Luna scored the first
Anderson
goal.
Anderson Julio scored that banger of like a shot that the goalkeeper, who was it, Pius? Pius?
Martin Pius.
He was just like, no, there's no way this shot is coming right now. And he's like, okay, it's in the back of the net. RSL has, you know, if McMath doesn't make these mistakes, RSL... they even look like more of a powerhouse in the Western Conference.
They drew the Galaxy in LA, 94th minute, 3 weeks ago. McMath drops the ball in the end of the game as well for Miguel Barry's goal. It was, and they're still in first place.
Yeah.
With, I think, technically only, I guess two DPs on the team. Andres Gomez has been awesome. Diego Luna's been awesome. Anelli's been one of the finds of the season. Glad's been good. And what's frustrating, if you're part of this for RSL, is McMath was phenomenal the last 2 years when they sucked. Yeah. Now they're good, and now he falls apart. 2 years ago, they were like a fine team, and McMath was in the running for goalkeeper of the year.
Yeah.
And now it like all falls apart on him, which is really tough. So then Gavin Beavers starts against Seattle midweek.
And gives up the Rusnak
gives
goal.
Up the goal to Rusnak, which it's a good shot from Rusnak, but if you watch it, Beavers is he either there's two issues. Either his wall's not aligned correctly because it doesn't cut off the near post, or he wants to set it up that way. He has to be closer to his near post. He takes a step. Rusnak basically sneaks it in the near post from 35 yards out, 30 yards out. Like, it's way too far to score that type of goal, and that's the opening goal to go against them. It's tough. It's a weird one. I'm always shocked when MLS teams don't have good goalkeepers. You're like, this is the only thing we do. Right?
Yeah, yeah. Just like the only thing we can produce.
Yeah, just go to an ACC soccer game and like ask one of the guys to come join your team. It's not
go
that hard.
Go to the goalkeeper, the America Goalkeeper Factory. Yeah. They're literally coming right out of there.
Yeah. Call Brad Friedel in the weird accent and be like, do you know anyone? Is there anyone else in Ohio who can play goalkeeper? And you should find one. So that one's always bizarre.
Yeah.
And now you even have like some teams have two or three. Not three, but some teams have two guys where you're like, okay, they didn't know who their starting goalkeeper would be. Someone's won the job. Can you go and get Quentin Rusberg off of Atlanta when Josh Cohen finally gets a start, even though Brad Guzan's been terrible? There's like a bunch of goalkeepers in MLS, and some teams have none of them.
Yeah, it's odd. I mean, maybe it's just it speaks to, given that we have so many MLS teams, obviously the player pool is going to be a lot more saturated. And then... But it sort of feels like, look, even in Premier League, let's say, there's 20 teams. Are there 20 goalkeepers? Are there 25 goalkeepers in the Premier League currently that are like absolute, like great, like not gonna make mistakes like that? Yeah. At any given time, like I've heard the statistic that I think it was like a team president or GM that said this, if somebody in Europe, I don't remember who, but they were like, at any given time, there's only about something like 75 great players. In the world,
yeah.
At any given moment, there's only 75, like just, right. Again, world-class players. And then everybody else is just, whatever, just trying to make it in the right. leagues and stuff like that. And that's sort of what I'm like thinking of that, comparing that to goalkeepers. Like, way less people play goalkeeper than any other position.
For sure. But also, they play for 20 years.
Okay.
So you can, like, normally what you end up doing is you find someone, like Zach McMath. Zach McMath was, like, a starter at 18, very young. Then he was a backup for a lot of years because he wasn't ready. And then RSL finally brought him in, and he was ready. And there are normally guys like that. I mean, we're talking different levels,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah,
this isn't Alisson. This isn't Ederson. Like, we're talking about an MLS. But the whole thing is, can you just find one that doesn't lose you the game?
Exactly.
And there are some that are match winners. Matt Turner's a match winner. Andre Blake, when he's healthy, is a match winner. Hugo Lloris might be now in MLS. Yeah. Berkey has been. Yeah.
Yeah.
Schulte is. Celentano's become one. But you don't need that. Like, especially this RSL team.
Yeah, yeah.
You're in first with this. Can you just get a guy who can play at their level?
So, it's disappointing to see those, especially on such a good team. It's just very, very shocking. I also want to talk a little bit. FC Dallas played against LA Galaxy. This was last night. And a 3-1 win. Obviously, there was a red card in the game. But we got to talk about Ricky Pouche. His last two games, he's gotten goals. And we got to talk about the hair.
I was going to say, you think that's why?
Yeah. Initially, I thought, I made a joke that over the weekend, he had this hair.
Right.
And it was... blonde. I mean, he's going blonde, but it's like a little reddish. He looks like Irish, maybe. You know what I mean? Like,
did you see Zoom Back Out?
Uh-huh.
Someone threw the, what was his name?
Johnny Bravo.
Yeah, Johnny Bravo. I didn't even think of that.
So I saw that photo and the way his hair is styled, and I thought Jimmy Neutron.
Oh, yeah.
So that's who I saw.
Jimmy Neutron.
But sorry, in the next game from the game last night, he got it. Maybe he got like a touch up. He got a second
second blonding.
Yeah, his hair was. I'm trying to find a photo, but his hair was even was properly blonde. And so in the first game,
there it is.
Yeah, we're seeing it here. I mean, it's bleach blonde. So it looks a lot better here. But in the first game, he scored, and he did a Kamehameha from Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah, he's a fan.
Yeah. So, but I saw the like red hair, and I'm like, what's all this? But then I'm like, oh, he's going Super Saiyan.
Yeah.
And now with the blonde hair, the proper bleach blonde hair, I'm like, okay, now I see it. Now he's in full. the full costume. And then he also did like an interesting celebration with, I don't know who it was.
Yesterday? I didn't see the celebration. The goal was crazy.
The goal was wild, but he did, I'll pull it up. But he did like a, he did a point, like he went up to somebody that was at the corner flag and put his pointer. They went pointer to pointer.
ET?
What'd you say?
ET style?
Yeah, yeah. Pointer to pointer. And then they both pulled back and it was like they were smoking weed. And I'm like, hey, Ricky Pooh.
California, baby. LA.
Legalize it.
Hollywood.
Legalize it. My man, yeah. I was like, okay. And the camera cut quick.
Here, I want to see.
Yeah.
The run is crazy, by the way, the goal.
The camera cut quick. And also the goal. Like, the keeper didn't expect a shot to even be taken. But look at the celebration. Pointer. Oh.
Ooh.
Oh, and the smoke popped off at the same time.
Perfectly timed. So that was. Also, was that the photographer he did it with?
I don't know.
Or the photographer showed up
later?
It
looked like a trainer or a coach or something.
Man, everyone's got to have the hair.
And then, yeah, so let's go back to it real quick.
Oh,
yeah.
Diego Fagundes doing the...
yeah, like a barber.
The barber.
He put the what, with a coat or whatever. Yeah, so...
Yeah, what can I do for you, boss?
I got you. Oh, he was like, yo, I want Super Saiyan. Say less. And, but yeah, so that was dope. You know, we've clowned Ricky Pooj a little bit because he was on... his first year was a very bad LA Galaxy team.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously they brought him on board, paid him a lot of money. He had like something like, I think the time.
Well, technically they don't pay him that much money.
Okay.
Allegedly.
But they at the time he had like, I think it was like maybe 10 games in and he only had like one assist. And it's like, all right, well, you should have a little bit more than that. And then Barcelona Twitter found it. And bro, it was the comments. Alexis was the one making jokes about it. And they were just like, it's just like they're calling him fat in Catalan.
Yes.
Or whatever. Like they found
you don't know a proper footballer in proper footballer with the TA.
Exactly. So, but I'm not only am I happy to see him play well. I mean, like you can clearly see the talent above.
He's so fun
everywhere
yeah,
else,
for sure.
Above everyone else, and his last two goals, especially this one, it's just like him. How old is he? 23, something like that. The fact that he's like, yeah, I'm the best one here.
Yeah,
I'm gonna take, and you see it in that run. He's like, I'm not passing it to any. I'll go do three guys if I have to, because I'm trying to get this like to get this goal. So just seeing
he's
him,
20, he's 24 by the way.
24.
There you go.
Just seeing him, there's something about his time here where he's young, and even when he got to LA Galaxy, he was like, LA Galaxy, they're one of the biggest clubs in the world, and which is like. For young people, that, you know, we have the bias of just being older. And when MLS started and stuff like that, he doesn't know anything about that. He's just like, oh, Beckham played there.
Right.
And yeah, so there's a lot of respect for the club. And there's something to, I'm like, every day I'm sort of analyzing, like, does he want to be here?
For
like,
sure.
I see him, I see the celebration. I'm like, okay, it seems like he actually takes a lot of pride in wearing this badge and playing in Major League Soccer. And he is embarrassed by playing on a bad team.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want to miss the playoffs again and stuff like that. So I don't know. I feel like every single game I'm sort of analyzing, like, does he really want to stay here?
Yeah. A lot of body language analyzing.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
No, I think he loves it. And it's dangerous because, you know, we see people who are fully fledged pros who can't take it seriously. They can't find within themselves to like figure out who they are in this setup. And he comes from Barcelona at 22 with less years of experience of like, this is how I operate. This is what I do. And he's been pretty perfect since he got there. And like, even the moments that he has struggled, a lot of it's been like him trying to do too much.
Okay.
And like not understand how he fits in and the team sucks. So like whatever, it wouldn't matter probably either way.
Yeah.
But you watch him like he's at something all the time. He's like always out in LA, like going to see Spanish players play tennis and golf like going to movie events and all that stuff. So he seems really happy with it. But I agree with you in that he's a fascinating case study and he's an interesting one. I think everyone's watching where it's like, can you go and get more Ricky Pujas to come to this league?
Right.
Well, you can only do it if he likes it.
Yeah.
And you can only do it if it goes right.
He has to be like
right.
An ambassador of some kind.
Pretty much. You have to go to Dortmund or PSG or whoever, where you're going to try and get these like back half of the roster, young players that you think can be special,
yeah,
and be like, look at his experience. Look at what this can do for you. Like, you could be a star in the city. And then the question at the end will be, where does he go back?
Exactly. Like, does
how
he,
long does he stay?
Does having a good few seasons in MLS, he's not getting in any roster in Europe or whatever, but is he going back to Barca? Is he like,
I have zero idea. Because when he came, immediately it was like, well, here's the list of mid-level La Liga, Bundesliga, Serie A teams that had pretty much offered him the deal when he left Barca.
Yeah.
They were the same teams, so nothing had really changed. And I don't know how much it changes from the way he's performing here, because he's not going to get into a national team. So it's all just going to be based off the MLS experience. But if you look at what people are willing to give for what we're hearing about, like a Jack McGlynn and all that type of stuff, you put Rywin, Ricky Puig be in that same combo. Thiago Almada. Right?
Yeah.
Thiago Almada is doing the same things, but you know Puig has actually already somewhat been successful or can play at the European level, at that high level.
Yeah.
So you would honestly trust him more than Almada, but Almada's a little bit younger and people love the unknown.
Yeah, yeah.
So
he's genuinely fun to watch. Yeah. I mean, as far as like, you know, play just midfielders in MLS, like where it's just, yeah, like I said, it's just so evident the level he is at and how he is, you know, I'm not gonna say light years above the rest of the team or even opponent, but there's just we think of players that young, even when he first got to the league like 2 years ago, just the poise and control, even though he wasn't playing on the best team and weren't getting a lot of good results, but super, super exciting to watch. So it's nice to see an LA Galaxy team do well. The last, basically, since we've been doing this podcast,
they've been terrible. They've
really not been that great. It's entertaining to say the least.
So I've got two guys in front of me right now who will be participating in TST next week. Christian is on one of the teams. David Goss will be calling the matches. What are you guys excited for? Tell us about what's going on. Let us know. Let the people know.
So, thank you for saying I'm participating. It sounds a lot better.
You're
participating. You'll be there. David Goss will
without
be
a
there.
Doubt.
Yes. I'll be on the ground.
You're doing. You ever watched a soccer game with no commentary?
Yeah.
It's like it's actually like it almost feels like torture.
Wow.
It there's something to. I don't know.
Respect from the commentators union for Chris. Preach.
We're so conditioned to it where like. Having somebody talk to us and narrate of like kind of what's going on, that when you watch a game with no commentary, like, you know, you watch some like amateur thing or whatever, like even just like a Sunday league or something pops up on YouTube or something, and it's just like this, it's almost unwatchable. it's almost feels like it could be Mbappe and Messi on the field and you're like, no, these guys don't know how to play, like they're not good because there's nobody talking about it, nobody's telling them that they're good.
Yeah.
No, respect to all announcers out there. Let's take a quick look at the group I'm in.
Ooh, let's get the analysis.
Here goes. I mean, this is we're looking at it now. So I'm in a group.
So you're on playing, the team Summer of
I'm
Soccer.
I'm on Summer of Soccer. Well, we have hashtag United, Manhattan Kickers FC, Raleigh Rebels FC. In our group. Hashtag United, it got pretty far last year.
I think they got to the quarterfinals, they said.
Yes, so my hope, and if any of the other teams are watching this, please don't take it too seriously. It's like, you know...
Bulletin board!
Nani's going to win the million. Don't try... When we're in our group, we're here to have a good time.
Yeah.
Have fun, you know, make friends. You know, maybe TST is the friends we made along the way. You know, that's
the
what
million
I'm,
dollars. Yeah.
$1 million just muddies the water of what our friendship could be.
Hashtag United is like, so we're buying flights to come from England. But no, we'd like to pay for those.
I expect a very serious competition. I'm training. I'm working my ass off.
Has anyone said to you, let's just say you win?
So
I asked that last week.
So my mom.
Yeah.
My mom called me the other day. She's like, how's training? My mom has maybe seen 3 soccer games in her life. Yeah. She is Dominican.
But she heard $1 million. She woke up.
So my mom, she basically said, I was asking her, she was asking me, oh, how's the like training going? And I was like, oh, I'm doing all right. It's doing all right. Like, you know, I'm just trying my best and, you know, just really just trying to be as sharp as possible. And she was like, no, you got to, like, believe in yourself. And I'm like, okay, I think the $1 million is really what's motivating her encouragement. Yeah. You know, like, I'm like, Mom, you never encouraged me to play any sport, really, and any sort of, even an after-school program.
Well, she had been hanging out with Tim Weah. He said you were nice. No. She heard. Now she's involved.
Because the streets is talking.
Yeah, exactly. She's like, the word is, you're a favorite.
So I was so... shot. Like, it's not like that. My mom is very loving and kind, yeah. But she is not like a sports person that was like a soccer mom that's like, get out there. She's not the one screaming at the ref at the sideline. That's not my mom. So the fact
she's not Claudia Reyna.
She's not, so the fact that she was even encouraging me at all about sports, I was like, Mom, I'm in my 40s. What took so long?
Yeah.
So that was good. So the TST is bringing even my family together.
That's what it's about. Friends and family. Yeah.
So I'll just show you our roster, by the way. A couple of notable folks. Look, I'm on the first line.
Wow, Andrea's a legend. She helps run Minnesota Aurora.
Yes. Andrea was the one who invited me on the team.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
there you go.
So Andrea's great. Yeah,
she probably should, no offense, brought Minnesota Aurora players instead.
No, she saw my juggling videos. She said, like, oh, we got to get this guy.
Here's a soccer player. So this guy's a wrestler.
Yes, we got a wrestler, Claudio.
So Castanos. That's got to feel good to have in your back pocket.
We got muscle. We know who's going to be the center back.
Because Noah Beck got punched last year, so it gets heated.
TSD is no joke. My hope, if I can get out of this tournament without getting punched, I will have done better than Noah Beck. So,
Wow, that's a good barometer.
So,
look at that smile from Jamie Watson. What a guy.
Jamie Watson's on there. Obviously, works as an announcer at MLS. He's going to be on the pitch, a former MLS player. My man, he played with Freddie Adu and all this stuff. He got quite
think hit. U.S. Youth International.
A lot. Look, a couple like
this guy's super German. Right, Keanu Stott.
We have a couple indoor,
which is key.
MASL players.
Yeah. Players are the best players.
Mo Ali. We
Big
got
Kenny Cooper.
Kenny Cooper, FC Dallas legend. Okay, so we got a
and Paul Aguilar.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
So we got...
Who knows him? Oh, and Ricky Lopez Espin. Shout out to Ricky. Ricky's my guy.
Okay.
Yo, I broadcast with him. Someone forced Paul to take that picture against his will.
I have zero idea. Oh,
this is good. They could have used... This is driver's license photo?
Like, this is a guy... Who's not here for fun. He's here to win. That's a face of a guy who's here to win.
Without a doubt. Kenny Cooper.
He's like a legit Mexican international. Yeah. He's like Club America. He won Liga MX titles. That's wild.
Kenny Cooper is on the team as well. I've been doing... we did a virtual crossbar challenge together on Instagram Live.
Did he win?
He did win. Yeah. Yes, but you know,
I didn't see it, but I could
not
guess.
On the first try. Okay. So we went like 3 rounds.
Yeah,
so
nice.
Felt pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay, I got so close.
Yeah.
Before I went live, I hit the crossbar, and then as soon as the camera was on, you know how it is.
Yeah, for sure. You don't want to waste them.
Okay. Tim Weah understood when I told him.
He was like, okay. I got you.
We all been there, okay? But Kenny Cooper is he was like, bro, I'm gonna set you up for a goal. I'm like, okay, so
he's gonna be an ace null. So I was there last year.
Mm-hmm.
And going into it, zero idea what to expect.
Yeah.
I think I broadcast like 25 games in 18 hours or something. It was like basically a day and a half.
Yeah.
The group stage was a day and a half long. And I did like a zillion games back to back to back. And then it was over. It's so fun because when you're there, obviously your experience will be different, which I'm excited to hear about after as a player. But like, it's like this field's the last 10 minutes. Everyone comes over and watches the target score, which I assume you talked about last week. Mm-hmm. So everyone knows. So then it's like everyone here. So everyone runs to that field and then the next field, the last 10 minutes. And so you keep moving around.
Right. All right. We didn't talk about it last week, but the target score, you just explain it.
So target score is ELAM ending in basketball. It's so if your team is winning 3-1, when you hit the 40 minute mark, 25 minute mark, I don't remember how much time they set a target score. First team to hit that score wins. It's one goal more than the team that's already winning.
Yeah.
So if you're winning or if you're losing 3-1, it's 4. You can score the next 3 goals and win.
I win the game, yeah.
The other team, they score 1. And then every few minutes, they pull a player off the field for both teams, a la old school hockey or whatever.
Yeah.
So you get down to 6v6, 5v5, 4v4, and you get in these crazy situations where it's like I think we got down to 3v3 last year, and it's like, so the goalkeeper's got to come off and come play.
Yeah.
Then they turn it over. Now it's a shot over their head. They're sprinting, and it's wild. It's dramatic. It's fun. It's a cool way to end a game. And so because of that, one, you're always in it. Like, it's never actually over. And you see, like, a few different theories of, like, how to go about it, which last year everyone was figuring it out on the fly.
Yeah.
Now you've got, like, Jimmy's coming back with his team. Steven Ireland's coming back with his team. But Kenny Cooper is going to be the key, because what worked for teams last year was, like, big target forward with great feet, hold it up straight into their feet, and then play off that, almost like basketball in the center.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I think Kenny was, like, born for this.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So if they need me to be the target, man, I'm happy to do that.
Shield Give your body up for the team. Yeah.
Shield the ball. Okay. Hold off, JJ Watt if necessary.
Absolutely.
I ain't scared.
Yeah.
Pat McAfee.
Bro. The first time Chad Ochocinco gets the ball, I just want you to yell, like, mouse in the house, barbecue chicken, and close him. Press.
Bro, he's been training too. I've seen some of his videos. It's going to be incredible. So I'm excited. There's a lot of familiar people that work in soccer, just friends that are going to come through. So it's a dope thing. So go if for any reason you are interested in going.
You should go.
TheTournament.com if you want to get tickets. It's going to be dope. My games are going to be – my group stage games are June 5th and June 6th. And we have the two on the 5th and one on the 6th. They will be where are the games? They're airing on the website, I believe. Right?
I think they stream everything, and then some of the better games, which I don't know if you're on that list.
They're all three are going to be 8 p.m. prime time.
I think they're on ESPN and ESPN Plus.
Right. So, but I think the games that the not super high profile games will be
on their website or on YouTube. I think was last year. If you're in Brazil, apparently one of the teams is like a huge Brazilian YouTube channel, and they're streaming all the games. There's like a team coming from Switzerland.
Okay.
That's like for 10 years, they play cash tournaments and they like travel around and they like play 7v7s, 8v8s, and they just win money.
Yeah. So this is my main concern really, because I heard a lot about everybody was roasting Noah Beck on the pitch.
Yeah.
They were like, bro, we know you're not about this. I'm just
to give you a little background, Noah Beck played in the RSL Academy.
Yes.
And played at Portland, University of Portland soccer, which is like one of the best programs in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And then he still got run.
So
continue now.
So, but Noah Beck is not a comedian.
No, that's true.
So people are training. Yeah. You see my videos on the pitch and I'm training with Etten Butto and blah, blah, blah. But I also have over 12 years of comedy experience. True. So
you can work the crowd.
Feel free. Just a little warning to everybody. Have fun. Play little jokes. Oh, you're not built for this and blah, blah, blah. Bro, don't let me find anything about you. Cause it's gonna be like B Rabbit and that last battle in 8 Mile.
Dog. Coach is gonna be like, Christian, go in. You're gonna like pull out your folder to see who's on the field, check through your research.
Bro. Just be careful.
Yeah.
All right.
This is SEC football.
I ain't Noah Beck.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, don't hurt my feelings, because I will hurt feelings back. Okay. So that's it. That's my only warning. But outside of that, I'm just there having
good
time. Just having time.
Just here to have fun.
We're not saying anything negative.
No,
we're
not
having to have fun. All right. So
you're just putting on a show. So Chris Paul comes over and he's like, whoa.
Yo.
I'm going to hit up my boy Tim Way and be like, yeah, this guy Christian's like that.
Okay. So I'm out there to network, bro. So we're trying to have a good time. All right. Yeah. I'm absolutely stoked. So TST starts June 5th through 10th. There's a men's tournament, a women's tournament. We're going to be out there. Mike is also going to be out there as well. He's coming through.
Hell yeah.
We're doing content. We'll be lots of content. So make sure to check out our socials, follow, subscribe, whatever you got to do. We're going to be doing interviews, social media stuff, the whole nine yards. So make sure to check it out.
Yeah, yeah. Nice. So Meadowlark will be on the ground there. It's going to be dope. So go June 5th through 10th. Join me in this experience.
It's going to be awesome.
It's literally one of the craziest things I've ever done in my life, and I'm absolutely so stoked about it. So, all right, David Goss, thank you so much for joining me. It's always an absolute honor. I know you got some things in the pipeline.
Working on stuff, yeah. I'm hanging out. I mean, I'll be at TST. I'm going to be hosting a show for a company up in Canada during Euros and Copa America.
Okay.
We're going to be streaming every day, like around 5 o'clock. Because you've got Euros all morning, and Euros should end every day about 5 p.m. Eastern, and then Copa is going to kick off at 7.
Okay.
Every night. So I'm going to be doing a show for that, and I'm working on my own stuff of trying to follow the examples that you guys have set.
Yeah,
and help cover soccer in North America better. So I got some stuff in the works that hopefully will be coming in 2 weeks or so.
Okay.
To help cover MLS and NWSL a little bit deeper, and I'm excited.
No, you are an important voice in the American soccer landscape. I mean, there's always...
I hate that you just said that.
No, I know you may hate it, but and look, we're all... I've sort of accepted this moniker as well. It's like there are few people that I can even call
right.
to be like, yo, you want to do the show with right. me? There's literally, especially in person, there are so few people on the planet that I can be like, I don't even have to, I send you the topics like 5 minutes before we start.
Yeah. And you're like, okay. You send me them? And I was like, oh, I didn't realize he was going to send me topics. This is so convenient.
And that's, you know, that just speaks to not only your experience, but just how good you are at your job. So, yeah, you will forever be. If there's a Mount Rushmore of American soccer dorks, we're on there, yes. bro.
Yes. Let's go. Suck on that, Novak.
We're on there. So make sure you go follow at Empire Goss on everything, right? Yeah. And just
I will be updating as things develop.
Oh, I also just noticed that your Twitter headers use skydiving.
Yeah.
Which I wish I had mine. I paid
a lot of money for that picture.
I have me as well. Insane. I have basically the same exact photo.
Where were you?
This was in South Jersey.
Okay.
Where'd you do you
Lake Tahoe?
Okay.
It was one of those places where I was like, if I'm gonna do it, this is the place to do it.
Yeah, I did it, and it was a thing where. I was trying to pick the place, and then I saw this one dropped you from the highest altitude.
Oh, interesting.
This was from 13,000 feet. Every other place was like 9 or 10,000.
So how long are you? So you're in free fall longer.
Yeah. You get an extra maybe 6-7 seconds, but I'm like, hey.
Yeah.
Okay.
Here's the best part.
Yeah.
The parachute part I didn't like.
Yeah.
And the plane I wasn't crazy about. But when the free fall, I was like, this is cool. And
I like both because there was something so incredibly scenic of when the parachute opened and you're that high up and everything is just like so tight. It almost feels like, did you let out the chute too early?
For sure.
How are we this high up? Yeah. But it's like, oh, yeah, it would have been very dangerous if we went any lower.
Also, mine's funny because they do a video. They do the GoPro, whatever. And the guy, we were in the plane forever because I think there was a lot of wind. We were in the plane for like 35 minutes, mm-hmm. which I thought was where I was going to freak out. We were in the plane so long, I stopped paying attention. Then we jump out, and this picture is like in free fall. And then the chute comes out. And at one point, I now remember, the guy was like, hey, can you hold the camera for a sec? I just need to fix something. I'm like, okay, cool. So I hold the camera, and he like is like fixing something, and then we land. And the video they gave me, none of it is while we're with the chute open. And I realized that something got messed up.
Oh.
And he was like fixing the chute. And they didn't want that in the video. So I get free fall. And then like a minute of us landing where I'm like, I don't care about this part. And so free fall was the best part for me. And it's the only part I have record of.
That's so funny. Your guy had a GoPro. My diver didn't have a camera. It was a second guy.
Oh, who shot you? That's cool.
So that was, I had to pay extra for that. But the video was just awesome. It was just a great moment. That I always say, skydiving was what made me get into comedy. It was one of the scariest things I had ever done. And I was like terrified to do it. And then once I did it, I was like, I was thinking about doing comedy for years. And then I went skydiving. So literally almost like as soon as I landed, I'm like, I'm going to do comedy.
Interesting.
Like, I already got over the scariest thing I could do. Why should I be afraid of getting on stage? And boom, I started doing comedy. Like maybe like 6 months later.
Would you do it again?
In a heartbeat.
Yeah.
I loved it.
I like have gone back at this point too. I'm as scared of it now as I was before. It's been so long that I'm like, that's crazy. No chance.
The adrenaline ran out. Yeah. All right. Let's wrap up. David Goss, thank you so much for joining me. Make sure you follow at Empire Goss and keep up with everything Goss is up to. Make sure you follow us at Soccer Cooligans. Follow me at Christian_Polanco on Instagram. I'm going to be posting a lot of stuff when I'm at TST next week. I leave on Tuesday. But we have another episode on Monday as well. So a lot to look forward to. We'll talk about, obviously, the Champions League final and all that stuff and hear Alexis's take on it and everything as well. So, all right, everybody. We'll see you on Monday. Thank you so much for joining us. Y'all the absolute best. Peace, everybody.
It's the Cooligans, buddy.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.